Hi, I'm Trevor, and welcome to Catching Up on Cinema. If you aren't familiar with the program, Catching Up on Cinema is a film analysis podcast wherein we introduce each other to films, expand our cinematic horizons, and, in essence, catch up on our cinema. So it is the month of November 2023, and is once again that very special time in the month wherein we do our very special Catching Up on Blu-ray episode. Essentially, what a Catching Up on Blu-ray episode entails is this is my excuse. It is just going to be me here today on the mic, so no Brad from the Cinema Speak podcast. Boo-hoo, I know. But essentially what this is my monthly excuse to take a look at the physical media release calendar and just dog-ear any titles that might be of interest to me for a variety of reasons. So basically I'm doing a little preemptive shopping, as it were. If you'd like to follow along with the home version of Catching Up on Blu-ray, you can do so by navigating to the lovely website of Blu-ray.com, excuse me, and then head over to the release dates page. And of course, we're going to be talking about discs, that is DVDs, Blu-rays, and 4K discs that are being released in the month of November 2023. So go ahead and navigate to that part of the calendar at Blu-ray.com. Also, if you're not familiar with how this works, in general, Blu-rays and 4K discs are released on Tuesdays of each calendar week. So I will be sure to call out the release dates as I proceed through the calendar. So it looks like our first major release date here in November of 2023 falls on the 7th. And as is customary with the way that Blu-ray.com does their, like, staggers their release dates, like the way it's arranged on the website, 4K titles are generally front and center for each calendar week, so we're going to start off there. Our first major release here is Fargo from the year 1996. That's getting a 4K release. It's part of the Shout Factory Shout Select series. I believe this is debuting on the format of 4K. Very big deal release. I really love this movie. Have the utmost respect for the Coen brothers and as individuals or as a duo. But if I'm being 100% honest, like, I don't actually have the deepest familiarity with their filmography. I've seen kind of like some scattered bits here and there, mostly in the 2000s era onward, like as far as like earlier ones. I've basically seen Fargo and Raising Arizona, but then like No Country for Old Men, I've seen that one. Actually, one that doesn't get talked about enough that I hold in like probably maybe the highest of regard when it comes to their filmography is A Serious Man. My brother and I both really like that one. For some reason, it spoke to me. But Fargo, I actually had the pleasure of watching with my girlfriend. I got to pick it as like a movie night watch, and she really enjoyed it. And I was very happy to have had the opportunity to share it with her. That was via a streaming service, as I don't actually own Fargo in any format. But I really do enjoy this movie quite a lot. I would be tempted to pick this up on 4K. Beside that, we're getting into the holiday season, so it's only appropriate that we have a 4K release of Scrooged on 4K. This is coming to us from Paramount, and it is the 35th anniversary edition, and I do believe it is debuting on 4K. It looks like it got very high marks in terms of image quality. That's always a good thing to hear. This was directed by Richard Donner, and it's essentially like a Christmas Carol. Funny enough, this is one of the only renditions of the Christmas Carol story that I think I've ever seen. It is its own thing, but it's very much, you know, taking from that. But I've never actually straight up just seen a straight Christmas Carol adaptation before, so this is probably the one that I know best. I really enjoy this movie. I had a friend who put it on at the office when I was working for him, a good buddy of mine. Using the phrase freeway killers was kind of a running gag between he and I. But yeah, Scrooge is an excellent film. Great performances, really solid special effects work, like the few times that it's really important to the film. yeah, I would watch this around the holidays. Beside that, we have Witness on 4K. This is coming to us from Arrow. Got a 4 out of 5 in terms of image quality. Also debuting on the format. This is the Harrison Ford headlined film about, I believe it's an Amish community. And Danny Glover, an earlier role from Danny Glover from 1985. So this was before Lethal Weapon. Funny enough, I just mentioned Richard Donner as director of Scrooged, also the director of all the Lethal Weapon films. Lethal Weapon wouldn't come out until 88, so this is 3 years prior to that, wherein his image would kind of change a little bit. But prior to Lethal Weapon, as far as I know, Danny Glover was, he did play villains, not chiefly, but quite often. And yeah, he plays a bad guy in this one. My dad had me watch this one when I was pretty young. I really enjoyed it, but because I saw it when I was so young, I don't remember it like beat for beat. I do remember there's like a finale sequence that takes place in a grain, like a granary, like a grain silo or something. There's a kind of a chilling confrontation in a public restroom. I do remember Harrison Ford gets into a fist fight at when he's supposed to be posing as an Amish person, which is very funny. I am compelled to go back and watch a lot of earlier Harrison Ford movies for some reason. And I would totally rewatch this one. I don't think I need to own it. I didn't have that strong of a reaction to my initial viewing of it, but just seeing it get the 4K treatment from a label like Arrow makes me kind of, it puts it in my mind, makes me kind of curious about revisiting it. Next to that, we have Trading Places, also debuting on the 4K format. It looks like this is the 40th anniversary edition of that film. It's from Paramount, and of course stars Eddie Murphy and Dan Aykroyd, and is directed by questionable human being John Landis. Trading Places is a very, very good film, very enjoyable comedy. Again, that's a dad movie for me. Another movie that my dad kind of subjected me to when I was kind of early in life. And funny enough, look, we got like three in a row here, apparently, because we got Witness, we got Trading Places, and beside that, American Graffiti. This was not a movie that my dad like pushed super hard, but it is a movie that he talked about a lot when I was young. This is, of course, from director George Lucas. It's an early film from him, and it comes to us from Universal. I don't actually know what the review scores are for this one just yet, but one would hope they, you know, give it the good treatment, being as it is kind of an important film. Moving on down, though, we have our first Criterion release on this month, November 2023, that is. And it comes in the form of Jackie Chan, : Emergence of a Superstar. So this is a 6-movie box set with titles from 1978 to 1985. The films included in are Half a Loaf of Kung Fu, Spiritual Kung Fu, Fearless Hyena, The Young Master, Fearless Hyena 2, and My Lucky Stars. Of all of these films, I think I have seen 3 of them. That would be the first Fearless Hyena, The Young Master, and My Lucky Stars. Of all of those titles, The Young Master would be the one I would have the most enthusiasm for. If memory serves, My Lucky Stars was one of the Lucky Stars collaboration films. So it's a Chinese comedy troupe, along with... I'm speaking directly at my ass, so I apologize if I'm falsely representing the film, but I think the Three Musketeers, Jackie Chan, Yun Biao, and Sammo Hung, are in that alongside the Lucky Stars comedy troupe. But yeah, Young Master, to me, of those 3 films that I've seen, would be the one that I'd have the most enthusiasm about. This is not a box set that I would feel compelled to own, although I'd be curious if my buddy Brad from the Cinema Speak podcast, if he'd be interested in this, because he does seem to have an affinity for Jackie Chan, and it's a Criterion release, so they'll definitely give it the best of treatment. Could be awesome. Not anything that I personally have any desire to own, but I'm sure there's a lot of people who are really, really, really excited about this one. We have a steelbook of Black Hawk Down coming out on 4K. That was released previously on 4K. In terms of new business, we have Gran Turismo coming out on 4K. This is from Sony Pictures and comes to us from the unlikely director of Neil Blomkamp, who kind of was in the doldrums there for a while. He might still be, being as the, the public reaction of this movie wasn't exactly outstanding. For what it's worth, I have heard this movie is not bad. I've heard it's like kind of a very, very straightforward sports drama, kind of a no-frills sports drama, even though it is, yes, based on a video game, and you would expect there'd be some sort of strange gimmickry or something like that brought to the proceedings. But from what I've heard, it's mostly just a straightforward sports drama and not a bad one. There wasn't a whole lot of buzz surrounding it. It kind of was just like a fart in the wind. But I was intrigued by the concept of this, because apparently it is based on a true story about an actual F1 driver who was drafted into F1 racing via like simulation driving, like via a video game simulator, essentially. And I do think that it's an important topic to talk about, because that is more than likely going to be the future going forward with certain activities, like maybe not always sports, but there's a lot of things that people will experience via simulation or VR or something, and have those skills surprisingly transfer over to real life. This is just a thing that I anticipate being real. And this is actually a real life example of it. Somebody excelling at the highest level of a sport, starting from very, very humble beginnings. I'm curious about watching this movie. I'm not like super amped about it, but nor am I a fan of the Gran Turismo game series, if I'm being honest. Not a huge racing game fan, like not since like Top Gear on like the Super Nintendo, but I might give it a watch though. Kind of curious. We have a 4K release of Violent Night coming to us from Universal. I think this only received a Blu-ray in its initial release, which was last year. This was the David Harbour headline. Hey, that's funny. We have two David Harbour movies getting the 4K treatment in the same week. This was the David Harbour headlined Die Hard with Santa Claus movie, essentially. It's from 87 North Productions, but it is directed by Tommy Wirkola, not exactly a household name, but the 8711/87North name carries a lot of weight in the world of action design. And for what it's worth, the movie does have a handful of like very well executed action sequences. I wouldn't say the movie's brilliant top to bottom, but it does have a couple of outstanding moments of violence and action and stuff. Brad and I reviewed this. Brad, my buddy from the Cinema Speak podcast, he invited me onto his show to review this. So I actually went out to the theater with the girlfriend to watch that movie. I've been considering picking up the Blu-ray for a long time now, because it's down to like less than $10 retail or on Amazon or whatever. So it's like, you know, the movie's all good enough. Like it's $10 good. So I probably will end up buying this movie at some point. Not entirely certain I need the 4K though. Just say that much. Like I will own Violent Night someday more than likely, but I'm not paying a lot of money for it. Just put it that way. Moving on down, we got Surviving the Game from 1994. This comes to us from Shout Factory, and this is directed by Ernest R. Dickerson. Not a name that means anything to me, but, the cast of this movie is, a bit of a curiosity. We have Ice-T as the star. We have Rutger Hauer as our chief antagonist. And pulling up the rear, we got Charles S. Dutton, Gary Busey, everybody's favorite Gary Busey, and F. Murray Abraham and John C. McGinley. We have an all-star cast in this movie, especially of like character actors. I've long been curious about watching this movie, largely because I listened to a humorous podcast review of it a while back, and I don't expect the movie to actually be good, but it's a Most Dangerous Game adaptation with Ice-T and a whole smorgasbord of amazing character actors from the 90s. How bad could it be? We got Duck Soup from 1933, excuse me. This is directed by Leo McCary, but this is, of course, a Marx Brothers film, and it's supposed to be an outstanding one on top of that. I actually had a teacher who was always trying to sell me on the Marx Brothers, and this movie often came up in our conversations. It looks like the Marx Brothers catalog is getting quite a lot of releases this week, so I'll just rattle off a few other ones that are within arm's reach. We also have Monkey Business from 1931, Animal Crackers from 1930, Horse Feathers from 1932, and The Cocoa Nuts from 1929. So yeah, apparently it's Marx Brothers season on top of being the holiday season. What else we got? Oh, we got RoboDoc, The Creation of RoboCop. This is coming to us from Cinedigm, not a label that is familiar to me. I have seen some clips from this documentary, which is, of course, a documentary about the making of RoboCop, and it looks quite fun. I am very seriously considering picking this up, being as I adore RoboCop. It is it's probably like a top 10 movie of all time for me, if I'm being honest. And, you know, it would be nice to know even more about a movie that I already feel that I know quite a lot about. And just seeing the couple of clips that I did, it does seem like the presentation is not half bad. Like, it looks like a pretty solid little documentary. We do have a Clerks box set coming out. This is ranging from 1994 to 2022, because Kevin Smith did in fact direct a third Clerks film. If you were not familiar, or if you weren't aware of that, you can get that all in one box on November 7th. And if I'm being honest, there aren't really any other titles from this first week of November that I feel much need to point out. I will point out that there does appear to be a trashy war film put out by WellGo, called War Horse 1. Exactly the only reason I'm pointing it out is because Johnny Strong, hell of a name, is the star of the film. He also has a lot of other production credits in there as well, so maybe he put his own money behind it. Maybe, like, trying to make a star vehicle for himself or something. He's a known quantity in the action slash stunt world, so it's kind of neat seeing him get a headlining role in something being put out by WellGo. But yeah, so let's move on to the next week, because that's about it for anything that interests me personally. Remember, this is just me talking to myself with myself, so I'm not going to be lingering on things that don't interest me. We have the first major release here on the next week is Blue Steel, and this comes to us from the Vestron label of Lionsgate Films. This is a funny one to me because it looks like it only got a 3.5 out of 5 in terms of image quality. This is a Jamie Lee Curtis headlined like cop drama. I think I've literally just seen the very end of this movie. I think I've only seen like the last scene and the ending credits of this movie. So I don't know much of anything about it, but it's a Vestron title, which means my buddy Brad is most certainly going to be picking it up. If you're not aware, my buddy Brad from the Cinema Speak podcast is on a mission to collect all of the Vestron titles. And this is one of them. And as far as I hear, it's actually a pretty good movie. You can't say that about every Vestron title. So, you know, that might be a fun one for him to look into. We have another Criterion release in the form of The Last Picture Show. Apparently it also includes Texasville. So this is from 1971, and it is a 4K from Criterion, not something we get all the time, but kind of a big deal. It's directed by Peter Bogdanovich, who, if memory serves, I listened to a lot of interviews with Orson Welles, despite never actually having seen an Orson Welles film. I find him as a person to be immensely intriguing and fascinating, such that I've just watched and listened to like interviews with him, because I mean, one, that voice is incredible, but two, he just has a very interesting outlook on life, and he absolutely loves the theater. Like, he's so much about it that it's kind of neat seeing him be so passionate about something. Anyway, I do remember him very casually tossing around the name Peter Bogdanovich quite regularly across a lot of those interviews. Not a director that I'm familiar with personally, but when fucking Orson Welles is singing your praises, you're doing something right. Speaking of talented directors, we have, beside The Last Picture Show, we have Duel coming to us on 4K. Can confirm my buddy Brad actually picked this up on Black Friday, no less. This is originally a television film, but I do believe they... I don't remember if they ended up adding scenes to it or like padding the runtime or something, but I do remember this film debuted as a television film, but later became like a feature, like theatrical release. This is from 1971 and is, of course, known as Steven Spielberg's feature film debut. This is another movie that my dad had me watch. My dad sometimes had taste, not always. Pope of Greenwich Village, that was a different story, but Duel, that was a good one. I think this is an excellent film. It shows a lot of Spielberg's strengths as a filmmaker. I would love to actually rewatch this one. I don't know if I would buy the 4K outright, but it's just one of those things that this is part of why I do this, folks, is it's, I see these things and it triggers all these memories and stuff. And it's an interesting feeling. I don't know if you've ever done it yourself, like walked the aisles of a video store and like made all these associations and connections as you're perusing the wares and stuff. But it's an exercise I never get tired of, which is why I do it literally every month. Beside that, we have Rudy coming to us on 4K. I think I just heard somebody talking about this movie the other day. I'm not entirely sure why, but this is from Sony. Apparently, it has two different cuts. I did not know there was a different cut of Rudy. But this comes to us from director David Anspaugh. Not a name that I'm familiar with, but anyway, this is a football story starring Sean Astin. Also features Ned Beatty, and hey, second time this month, Charles S. Dutton's in there as well. Kind of similar to Blue Steel, actually. I think I've only seen the finale of Rudy. I don't think I've ever actually seen it front to back. I hear good things. I haven't seen it, though. Moving on, though, we have a contemporary release, finally, of The Equalizer 3. This comes to us on both 4K and Blu-ray. This is a Sony release. This is the third of the Equalizer films, as evidenced by that title, and is also, all three of these were directed by Antoine Fuqua, who doesn't always knock it out of the park, but he is one of those directors that his name carries some weight with me personally. It's been kind of hit and miss lately. I think he did that Ben Affleck movie recently. That was Robert Rodriguez. I think that was Robert Rodriguez. Anyway, was it the Marky Mark movie he did? I think he did a movie with Marky Mark that had a lot of people scratching their heads and being like, is this a fake movie? Because this feels like a fake movie. But yeah, Antoine Fuqua is like one of those directors that like I understand why, you know, maybe some people think he's like a lowbrow, like Redbox film director or something. But I show up for Antoine Fuqua. And for what it's worth, I have enjoyed all of the Equalizer films. I haven't seen this one yet. I did actually want to go out to the theater to see it. I was invested enough in both the director, the star, and I guess the franchise to some extent that I was willing to go out to the theater. I didn't actually end up doing it, obviously. I've heard it's not bad. I've heard it's no less than the other two films in the series. I would very much like to check this out. This is a guaranteed buy for me, if I'm being honest. I'll probably forego the 4K though, simply because I already own the other two movies on Blu-ray, and you know, just for symmetry, just for consistency, why not? But yeah, definitely gonna be picking it up just to complete the collection and, you know, see how it all wraps up. Not that the story's of any import. It's just, you know, if you're in for a pound, you're in for a penny. Anyway, we have 2 Days in the Valley from 1996. This comes to us from Kino. This comes to us from director John Herzfeld, and not a name I often see listed at the front of a cast, but we got Danny Aiello. Jeff Daniels is in here, and it's 1996, so yeah, Terry Hatcher was flying high as well. And it does look like maybe that's James Spader I see in a screen cap here. I don't know what this movie is, but it does have kind of a fun little cast there. There's some people in there that I like. Moving on, though, we got Terms of Endearment coming to us on 4K from 1983. We have that fucking film, Sound of Freedom, from 2023. If you're not aware, this movie is one of those political shitstorm films. I'll just leave it at that. I haven't seen it, will not be seeing it, but I don't know, the studio that made this film sketches me out. I'll just say that much. And also just all the political bullshit surrounding the film is nuclear. It's like, maybe just don't touch it. Like, if you're a personality on the internet, like, you better be careful talking about that movie. Know your audience is, I guess, what I'm saying. We got a series of steelbooks coming out for movies that have already gotten releases, so this is a bit of a minefield that I'll have to navigate here. We got Bone Tomahawk, Color Out of Space, and The Man Who Killed Hitler, and then The Bigfoot. I have seen all three of these movies. I own only one of them. That would be, I'm not going to say the whole title again, but The Dude Who Shot Hitler and Then Fought a Bigfoot. I do own that movie. It was a bargain bin purchase. Watched it once. It has one brilliant scene, and then it's, the rest of it's just not that great. but Color Out of Space, I believe I did a review of that. I think also with Brad from the Cinema Speak podcast. Bone Tomahawk, that comes to us from, was it S. Craig Zoller, I think is his name. He's a writer, first and foremost, I believe, but he also, yes, S. Craig Zoller. He's also directed a handful of films, all of which are overlong and exceedingly brutal. Also, I think known as like a conservative figure in Hollywood, speaking of nuclear. But for what it's worth, I think I may have seen all of his films, and I think they're all good. Like Brawl in Cell Block 99, I think it is. Bone Tomahawk was before that. And then Dragged Across Concrete. I've seen all three, and I have liked all three. I'll just say that much. He is one to watch, if I'm being honest. Him as a human being aside, like his outside of the film industry stuff aside, pretty good filmmaker. Haven't read any of his books, though. We got The Nun 2 coming out on 4K from the year 2023. That's, of course, part of the mega horror franchise that I can't even remember off the top of my head, because it's one of those demon franchises that when it comes to horror movies, it's not really my lane. I haven't seen any of The Nun business, or I probably saw the first movie in the major franchise that it's a spinoff from, but yeah, I don't even want to futz with this stuff. I'm just gonna bail on talking about The Nun 2. Sorry, I don't have anything. Beside that, though, we do have something that I absolutely will be purchasing. The Sonny Chiba Collection, Volume 2. This comes to us from Shout Factory and collects titles ranging from 1975 to 1978. But because it's Sonny Chiba, within that couple year span, or that few year time span, we have 7 movies packed in this box. The man was nothing if not prolific, especially in the 70s. So to list off all the titles included in this box that I absolutely will be buying, we have The Defensive Power of Aikido, 13 Steps of Maki, Karate Warriors, Great Okinawa Yakuza War, Karate for Life, Golgo 13, Assignment Kowloon, and the Okinawa War of 10 Years. Of these films, I have seen two. I own and have seen Karate for Life. That's a weird one to include in here, being as it's the third film in a trilogy, of which neither of the preceding films are included in this box. Very interesting. And I've also seen Golgo 13, Assignment Kowloon. Excellent opening theme music for Golgo 13. Look it up. It is amazing. I've wanted to steal it for film projects of my own. I have that one stored in my back pocket. So if you're going to steal that from me, at least give me some credit for helping you find it, you fuckers. I am noticing that we do have... Maybe there's some connective tissue in here in the form of Okinawa being like a common locale across a lot of these movies. I mean, there's a lot of karate movies in here, and of course that's where that martial art originates from. And we have two separate movies that have Okinawa in the title. Can confirm Karate for Life takes place on Okinawa. So maybe I'm onto something. I don't know. I'm talking directly on my ass. But yeah, I've seen a couple of these movies. I would love to see all of them. I'm a very big fan of Sonny Chiba. I've been very interested in his filmography since I was in high school. Basically the story goes, and I've told this story before, so I'll try to keep it brief. Around the time I was in high school, I was frequenting a website called Stomp Tokyo, and also badmovies.org. So I was reading a lot of reviews, text reviews of shitty movies. It's just a couple of websites that collected reviews for shitty movies. And I think Stomp Tokyo and also the Kung Fu Cult Cinema website, I think they both had a lot of reviews for the Street Fighter series, which at the time... Again, I was in high school, so like think early 2000s. At the time, were regarded for being like hyper-violent, like especially brutal films. And remember, I hadn't seen these. I didn't know they were from the 70s and used fucking red paint and stuff for blood effects and stuff. I only had my imagination to work from when reading these reviews for these mythic, dirt-cheap Japanese martial arts films that I wouldn't see for another couple of years. Anyway, it just so happened that not too long after I discovered those reviews, Kill Bill was getting a release. The first Kill Bill Volume 1 was coming out. And to capitalize on that, apparently some DVD publishers decided to buy the rights to some of Sonny Chiba's older films and start releasing them on DVD in the U.S., because he, you know, if you're not familiar, he does actually have a small role in Kill Bill. And, of course, Quentin Tarantino has long been vocal about being a fan of the man's work. For fuck's sake, I think he slipped a Sonny Chiba Film Festival into his script for True Romance. And then, of course, he cast the man in Kill Bill Volume 1, so clearly he had some level of appreciation for him. Anyway, I bought all those DVDs, like literally all of them. And I enjoyed the hell out of them. And thus began my love affair with Sonny Chiba. And so now when I see like seven movie box sets like this, given, you know, good treatment from a label like Shout Factory, of course I'm super excited about it. I already have the first volume of the Sonny Chiba collection, so of course I'm going to get the second one, and I'm going to enjoy the hell out of it. I'm very excited. We have Sympathy for the Devil, coming to us on 4K. This is in Steelbook format. It comes to us from RLJ Entertainment, and this is directed by Yuval Adler and stars Nicolas Cage and Joel Kinnaman. Funny enough, there's a little, like, I don't even have to do a whole lot of 6 degrees of Kevin Bacon between the two of them to connect them to director John Woo. Joel Kinnaman, of course, has Silent Night or whatever. It's this year's Violent Night. It's become a trend in Hollywood now that we have like a bloody Christmas action film every year now. And Joel Kinnaman is starring in that, which is directed by John Woo. And of course, Nicolas Cage worked with the man a couple of times in the form of Face Off and Wind Talkers. I don't know a damn thing about Sympathy of the Devil, which is why I'm talking about John Woo instead of this film. I do remember hearing some people had some goofy reactions to the trailer, though, so I'll just say that much. We have Neon City from the year 1991, which literally the only reason I'm mentioning it is it has Michael Ironside in a starring role, apparently. And I love me some Michael Ironside. I love that angry Canadian man with the questionable hairline. Not going to be buying it. It is from Kino. That's worth mentioning, I guess. We have another Nick Cage film in the form of Guarding Tess coming out from 1994. It's directed by Hugh Wilson and also stars Shirley MacLaine. I remember seeing this one at the video store a lot when I was a little kid. Never saw it. Don't actually know its reputation. We have For All Mankind, Season 1. This comes to us from 2019. And the only reason I'm mentioning this is that the girlfriend actually mentioned it at the dinner table last night. She has a friend who really enjoyed this, apparently. By the way, also starring Joel Kinnaman. Big week for him, apparently. I haven't seen it. Don't have any plans to watch it, although, you know, if the girlfriend wants to check it out at her friend's urging, of course I'll be down to check it out with her. We have Short Circuit 2 coming out from Sony Pictures. And this is a 1988 release. I remember hearing a lot about this movie when I was a little kid. The Short Circuit films in general were kind of popular when I was a little kid. Apparently my brother was traumatized by, I think, the first one. Is this the one with, like, Los Lobos or Los Locos or whatever? They kick your ass or whatever? It's been so long since I've seen either of these movies. I can't remember, and obviously I get them mixed up. Moving on, though, we have Dr. Caligari on 4K. Not the cabinet of Dr. Caligari, but just Dr. Caligari. This comes to us from Mondo Macabro, and it is a 4K release. It looks like it got a 5 out of fucking 5 in terms of image quality. That's pretty incredible. It looks like it's very, very solid release if you're into what it's all about. I don't actually know, so I wouldn't be able to tell you. We have an Ultra 7, a 55th anniversary disc, which, as far as I understand, is just a compilation of Ultra 7's various appearances in various Ultra shows and movies over the course of his entire existence, all 55 years of the character's existence. I already have watched the entirety of Ultra 7. I don't need every single appearance of Ultra 7. I have to limit my consumption of Ultraman material at some point, and this is the cutoff where it's like, you know, I don't need this. This is a little too expansive for me. And that might be it for this week, because the rest of it, there are a whole host of re-releases of things from all over the place. So I don't know what's going on with some of these labels, but they're repeating themselves a lot that week. So I'm just going to bounce on down to the following week on the calendar here. And right out the gate, November 21st, we have a big release in the form of Christopher Nolan's Oppenheimer coming to us on 4K in both standard and steelbook formats. Let's see if it got a score yet, because I'd be very curious to know how well they handled the discs. We don't have a score on Blu-ray.com just yet, but I did actually see this in the theater, not full-ass IMAX, simply 70mm. There was a little bit of a projection issue with my screening. I saw it on Cinema Day or whatever. Basically, it was like $5 movies across the country. The girlfriend and I took advantage of that, and we both went to go see Oppenheimer, something that she really wanted to check out, in addition to myself. And of course, the film was excellent. I have a lot of good things to say about it. But yeah, the screening itself, there was like a little bit of flickering in the top center of the projection, which was a little obnoxious to me personally. I don't think the girlfriend noticed it, though, so that worked out. But yeah, excellent film. Not sure if I feel compelled to own it immediately, but I'm very glad that I saw it, especially in the theater. Beside that, we have Main Streets on 4K. This comes to us from Criterion. And yikes, it got a 3 out of 5 in terms of image quality. And this is a Criterion release. And apparently they're boasting that it was approved by director Martin Scorsese. Perhaps I haven't had time to read the entire review, but perhaps the original, like original film prints, or maybe the negative wasn't available or something. That's yikes material for a fucking 4K release. Those ain't cheap, I'll just tell you that much. But yeah, it's a Martin Scorsese film, a very early one from him, and supposed to be a very good one on top of that, but apparently it doesn't look great on fucking 4K. We have The Fugitive, which comes to us from Warner Brothers. It's from 1993, 4.5 out of 5 in terms of image quality. I did mention that, like, earlier Harrison Ford movies are something that's been on my mind lately. And even though this is 1993, it's not like a super early film from him, being as he'd been working for, you know, 20 years or whatever by that time. But it, you know, in the grand scheme of things, it's like I do kind of still think of this as early Harrison Ford, and this is a great one. It really is. I actually would consider owning this one, just because it's been a long time since I last saw it, and it's a very good film. Very excited to check this one out again at some point. We have a Police Academy collection coming to us from Shout Select. It's 1984 to 1994. Curious how many movies are in that box. 7 movies. Shit, that's only as many Sonny Chiba did in 3 years. Get on Sonny Chiba's level, Police Academy. We have Saw X coming to us on 4K. I often talk to my buddy Brad from the Cinema Speak podcast about the Saw franchise. I was that weird guy who was watching all the Saw movies for the plot. I kind of consumed them when I was in college. Like, I wasn't following them for a long time, but by the time we got up to, like, say, Saw 6 or something like that, I noticed how far they'd gone. It's like, you know, I may as well see what's going on with that Saw franchise. So I, like, went back all the way to the beginning, and in college just kind of plowed through them all in over the course of, like, a week or something. And yeah, these days it's like it's almost like a mandatory watch for me. I'm never ever in a hurry to watch these movies, but at some point I do watch these movies just because I want to know what the fuck they're doing with the plot, because it's been contorted and twisted in so many wild ways. Just to keep the damn thing moving is kind of a miracle. So yeah, I will watch this eventually. I'm not paying a damn penny to do it, but yeah, I'll check it out. We got Stalag 17 coming to us on 4K. This is from 1953. Not a movie that I'm especially familiar with, but it comes to us from director Billy Wilder, and stars William Holden. Both of those names carry a lot of weight. William Holden, because I've actually seen some of his work, but Billy Wilder is also like that's a big fucking name in older Hollywood. We have, now for something completely different, we have Expend Four Bulls, Expendables 4, coming to us on 4K and Blu-ray. I presume this is a Lionsgate release. Yes, it is. It has a Lionsgate vibe to it. 4.5 out of 5 in terms of image quality, directed by Scott Waugh. I really wanted to see this in the theater. Like, Stallone's kind of like, he's like a projection of my dad. Like, again, say what you will about the man's politics or who he is outside of his film career, Stallone is kind of me. I have a connection to Stallone. I give a shit about the guy when it comes to the movies he makes and stuff. Especially when they're bad, and this one looked really bad. I really wanted to see this in the theater, but no one would go with me. Like, the girlfriend actually volunteered, but I disinvited her. I said, no, you don't want none of this. Like, my reason for doing that was that it's the fourth movie. She hasn't seen a Expendables film, let alone a Rambo film. So I just felt like she'd be like, what the fuck is this? And I've heard nothing but bad things about it. Perhaps, like, with the exception of, like, maybe Iko Uwais's involvement. I seem to remember hearing, like, a little bit of praise heaped upon his physical contributions to the movie, as one would expect, given that he's a brilliant martial arts talent. But yeah, I've heard it's not great. I will own this, absolutely, 100%. But I am a little bit disappointed that I didn't go out to the theater to see it, because it did have a terrible... It did terribly in the theater, and it would have been fun to go out to see it in the theater. But again, nobody, like none of my friends, not even my brother, who shares kind of my affinity for Stallone in our weird kind of way, even he said, nah, that looks like shit. And I was like, yeah, you're right. I still want to go, though. But yeah, I'll definitely own it at the very least. We have a complete box set of The Expanse, which ranges from 2015 to 2022. That is a hard sci-fi show based on a hard sci-fi novel series. I don't know if my girlfriend has read the books, but she really loved that show. And she was very happy that they actually ushered it to completion, because apparently it got canceled like twice or some shit. But yeah, that's kind of neat. I don't think she'd want to own that. She's not big on rewatching things, is the thing. We have Babes in Toyland coming to us from, who's putting this out? It's from 1986, but it's from Kino Lorber. And of course, stars Drew Barrymore and a very young Keanu Reeves. And also Pat Morita is in there as well. That would be Mr. Miyagi for anybody who remembers Karate Kid or Karate Kid. Yeah, I remember that being on TV a lot when I was a little kid. I never once watched it, but I do know it carries a lot of novelty factor. Just the fact that it has, baby Keanu in it. It's like one of those little trivia factoid things. It's like, hey, you know, he did this movie way back when. You don't say. moving on, we got Gator and White Lightning. White Lightning. Gator is from 1976. White Lightning is from 1973. Those are both Burt Reynolds headline films. You better believe he has his shirt off on the cover of White Lightning, and there's a muscle car on the cover. My dad had a friend that apparently was always trying to get him to go see Burt Reynolds movies in the 70s, and Hooper was always the one that my mom had a chuckle about. Apparently she hated that movie or something, but Hooper, that and Gator. I haven't seen either of these movies, have no desire to. We have Dragon Ball Super : Super Hero getting a 4K release. It was released previously on Blu-ray, which is how I own it and have seen it. I'm not going to be repurchasing it, but hey, if you have the money, maybe pick up the 4K. Also, speaking of other anime that I actually have things to say about, that doesn't happen very often, folks. Every month, there are tons of Japanese animated titles, tons of anime come out on physical media every single month, but there are so few of them that I actually give any fucks about, to the point that I often gloss over them. So I apologize if I don't talk about your favorite contemporary anime, but the fact of the matter is, I've been out of the game forever. I do not give a fuck. So most of the stuff that I'll have things to say about are older titles. But I do actually have one that's fairly recent release that I can say a little something about. And it is actually in the mail on its way to me. We have Mobile Suit Gundam : Twilight Axis. This is a very short, I think it's like 45 minutes or something, maybe even less. Web-only animated film. Apparently it's like I think it's a Korean director out of Japan, but I seem to remember it's like maybe a debut or something along those lines. But anyway, this is a Universal Century Gundam story that takes place post Char's counterattack, if you give a shit or know what that is. I do. I care. Important things to me and me alone on this podcast. But for the longest time, this was only available online. Like, this wasn't broadcast on television, as far as I know. It was not shown in theaters. It was like a web-only thing. And it was also, I think it came out in chunks. So it was a very strange thing, like a very, very Japanese thing, where they have done this with Gundam before, like Gundam Stargazer. I think it was Gundam Seed Stargazer, I think, was also a web-only show. But yeah, this is apparently like a slightly longer version of it that has been printed on physical media. So, and because I'm a Gundam fanatic, or at least exclusively a Universal Century Gundam fanatic, of course I'm going to pick this up. I don't expect much of anything from it, being as it's probably too short to tell much of an interesting story. But hey, the animation might be cool. And hey, the mechanical designs might be neat. Although that Tristan Gundam is pretty fucking butt ugly if you buy the model. That model kit is a disaster. Like, it is jank as fuck. You gotta put some work in. You gotta put in some fucking elbow grease to make that model worth two shits. They Bandai cheaped the fuck out when they made that kit. Just say that much. The head sculpt is really nice, though. Moving on, though. Gundam rant over, I promise. Although there are other Gundam things on the calendar, so I'll just point out the Gunpla Builders : Beginning G is also coming out on Blu-ray. Zero interest in that. Mobile Suit Gundam-san from 2014, which appears to be like a chibi-style like parody of Gundam or something. Also not here for that. Like I said, I'm into the Universal Century stuff. Beyond that, you're asking too much of me. We have Ninja vs. Shark coming to us from Media Blasters. This is a contemporary release, came out in 2023. Koichi Sakamoto worked on this film. I don't remember if he's director. I think he is. Probably involved in the choreography, though. And if you're not familiar, that name does carry quite a lot of weight, once again, in the action slash stunt world. So as dumb as this movie looks, parts of it might actually be worth a look, given that he is involved in it. Moving on, though, to close out the month, it looks like our final release date here is November 28th. And this is where we get into the Vinegar Syndrome stuff, and this is where things get really sloppy, and I apologize if I completely skip over the title that you in particular happen to be most excited about, because the Vinegar Syndrome catalog is very, very difficult for me to keep track of. And oftentimes I don't even know what I'm looking at half the time. Like, I don't know who is putting it out until I open the webpage, and Blu-ray.com doesn't exactly load that fast. And I happen to talk very fast, so it's a little difficult to sync everything up on the fly. So I'm just going to start. We'll see where we go. But we have WandaVision coming out on a Steelbook. It's getting a 4K release. So this is, of course, the Disney Plus Marvel Cinematic Universe show, kind of important, being as a lot of Disney stuff, it's kind of up in the air if it's even going to get a physical release, especially when it comes to the Marvel show stuff. In recent days, we have seen them starting to put these out, along with the Hulu exclusive film Prey. That would be the Predator film, also got a 4K Steelbook release. So it's neat to see that they're putting these out, even if they are, you know, probably overpriced. And I'm not terribly interested in a lot of them. It's just, it makes me feel good to know that they're putting them out physically in some capacity. We have Mother's Day on 4K. This comes to us from Vinegar Syndrome, Vinegar Syndrome proper release. It comes to us from Charles Kaufman. I think I watched a review of this on YouTube a while back. It looked pretty fucking funky, which fits the Vinegar Syndrome brand, so good for them. We have a Kino release of The Monster Squad on 4K. Very odd timing for this release, being as Halloween was a whole ass month ago, but okay. I own this movie on DVD. I actually had a really fun time watching it with a friend of mine a few years back. I like The Monster Squad quite a lot. It comes to us from director Fred Decker, buddy of Shane Black's. It's a fun little 80s kid horror movie. Very good, like, baby's first horror. Highly recommended if you're into that sort of thing. We have The Mark of the Devil coming to us from 4K. This is also a Vinegar Syndrome proper release. Funky cover art. Don't know a damn thing about it. We also have Blood-Sucking Freaks coming to us from the year 1976. Rabid Grannies from 1988. And we have something that I might actually pick up. I'm not sure about right away, but something that I probably should own just based on my own like personal sense of humor. We have The Naked Gun from the Files of the Police Squad, 35th Anniversary Edition. This is a fucking 4K release of the Leslie Nielsen headlined film. I enjoy all of these movies. Them Zucker Brother vibes, they're special. I love this particular brand of comedy. All the Naked Gun movies, even 33 and a Third, great stuff. Would love to force the girlfriend to watch this with me. We have Black Hat coming to us on 4K. That's from the year 2015, and it's Arrow, so I bet you it comes in a super duper boxed edition if you're quick. This is the Michael Mann film. It kind of has like a Chinese co-production vibes to it. I seem to remember people being very, very lukewarm about this movie when it came out. But I've been shocked to see there's like a wave, like there's a surge of interest, like a renewed interest in this movie in more recent days. Perhaps it's because Michael Mann is starting to crank up the gears again and like get back to making films. His output very dramatically slowed around the time this movie came out. But he has since done, the Ferrari movie. And there are rumblings that a Heat 2, based on the novel that was already written and already published, that is actually going to be going into production at some point. So maybe the renewed interest in Black Hat comes in the form of, I don't know, renewed interest in Michael Mann as a director on the whole. For what it's worth, I haven't seen a lot of Michael Mann's films, but almost all the ones that I have, with the exception of Public Enemies, worked for me. I would love to do a deep dive on his filmography, and that kind of includes Black Hat, because I'll be honest and say that based on the promotional material for the film, I had zero interest in this, like, when it came out. But now that I've seen that, like, there's people finding a value in it now, it makes me think maybe it was just a poorly promoted and poorly received film at the time that maybe has more value to it than people initially perceived. Remains to be seen, though. I will check this out. I am absolutely not blind buying it on fucking 4K Ultra Super Duper Special Edition, but I should watch it and would like to watch it. Tales from the Dark Side, the movie, is coming to us from Shout Factory, presumably Scream Factory, being as it's a horror anthology film. I've seen this one. It's a lot of fun. Highly recommend it. It's like one of the, you know, top five horror anthology movies out there. That's a good one. It's not on Creepshow's level, but it's good enough. Probably better than Body Bags, just say that much. We got Barbarella coming to us on 4K from the year 1968. That is a Vinegar Syndrome title as well, as is Daryl on 4K from the year 1985. We have a Arrow Super Duper 4K edition that I may consider actually getting. And that is Tremors 2, Aftershocks. I've heard the supplemental features that are supposed to be on this disc are brilliant. I'd really love to see everything on that. I did see this movie when it first came out in 1996. It was, I think, scheduled for a theatrical release, but I presume it was Universal backing it. They converted it into a video release instead. But my household was a Tremors household. We rented and watched that movie quite a lot in my household. Absolutely love Tremors. And Tremors 2 is not on the same level, but it's quite good. I mean, it's kind of the last really good, like, really good one, if you ask me. But it was pretty good. And I haven't watched it probably since, like, 1998. So, as dumb as it sounds, I might actually pony up the cash to get that. We got Cat City from 1986. This comes to us from Deaf Crocodile Films. This is an animated film Just based on the names here in the credits, I have to assume this is a film of European origins. I'm not going to pretend I know exactly what country of origin, but it's from far away. Just say that much. And we got Love Actually coming out on 4K. I think that's a holiday film. I actually haven't seen it. I know that's probably blasphemy, but it's coming out on 4K from the year 2003. We got The Prophecy from Vinegar Syndrome. This is a box set collecting the first three. I think there's only three of these movies, all of which feature Christopher Walken. And they range from 1995 to 2000. I can't remember which one of these movies I saw the trailer for constantly. One of the VHS tapes that we had in my parents' house growing up had a trailer for one of the Prophecy films in the opening previews. I would really love to remember which one that is. I'll actually have to look up the trailers for all three of these Prophecy films, get to the bottom of that. I would actually like to go back and watch those just because of that trailer, because I saw that damn trailer so many times. But yeah, apparently Vinegar Syndrome's giving them the 4K treatment. That's pretty cool. Nifty box art as well. We got Street Fighter 2, the animated movie. This is from 1994 and is being put out by Discotech Media, who handles anime quite capably. Their discs tend to be a little bit expensive, but I can assure you the quality is almost uniformly excellent. I already have this movie on DVD, but I actually intended to upgrade to Blu-ray, and now there's a 4K. I have to consider this. I really do enjoy this movie. I'm a big mark for all things Street Fighter, especially OG Street Fighter, not original, but Street Fighter 2 and Street Fighter Alpha are where it's at for me. We actually reviewed this movie for Catching Up on Cinema. I forced Kyle to watch this with me. That's how you can tell he's a good friend. It's a good movie, actually. If all you want to see is very well animated fight sequences, it does deliver on that front. Same with fan service as well, meaning boobs. but yeah, I have been meaning to upgrade this because the DVD I have is exclusively the English dubbed version of the film, which also substitutes the original score with like KMFDM music and stuff. So I've never actually seen the original Japanese version of this film, although I have heard samples of the soundtrack, and I'm not sure it's actually better, but it would be just interesting to hear the Japanese voice cast, because the English dub is all sorts of goofy. It is very much a 90s American dub of a Japanese animated film. Fun fact, Bryan Cranston voices Fei Long. I actually posted a clip of that on my Twitter a long time ago. I will consider this. Moving on, though, we have East End Hustle coming out on 4K from 1976. Presumably that is a Vinegar Syndrome or partner label release. We have the remake of Death Wish on 4K from 2018. That's the one headlined by Bruce Willis. We have Inn of the Damned plus Night of Fear coming to us from Umbrella Entertainment. Both of these are from 1972 and 1975, respectively. I don't know a damn thing about those. We got Ti Lung and David Chang collection. This is a Shout Factory exclusive, and good God, it's a very, very, very big box. 12 movies, limited to 2,500 copies. So if you're into highly exclusive box sets, that might be something worth picking up and putting in your collection. We have The Sandman, the first season of The Sandman television series, which I believe is an HBO show, on 4K. We also have A Haunting in Venice. Looks like it might only be a Blu-ray. Ouch! They did Kenneth Branagh wrong. They did him dirty. That's part of the Kenneth Branagh Hercule Poirot series of films. I think that's the third one in the series up to this point. I've heard all of these are really fun. Like fun little Agatha Christie whodunits. You know, something that you would expect there to be a lot more of in cinema these days, but we work with what we got, and apparently these aren't that bad. I would totally watch these. I actually haven't seen any of them, but I totally would watch any of them. Anything else that's jumping out at me? We got Zombie Holocaust on 4K coming to us from the year 1980. That appears to be a Severin release. We have Vinegar Syndrome's Lost Picture Show. This includes titles from 1967 to 2023. And I'll actually just read what this is because it's kind of fascinating. Vinegar Syndrome was founded in large part to find, restore, and release lost and otherwise unavailable films. Although these past 10 years have seen us grow and expand in all sorts of directions, our spirit and drive to uncover forgotten gems, and oddities from the annals of genre cinema have never wavered. We are proud to present our most ambitious, audacious, and all-around home video first. In honor of 10 years of Vinegar Syndrome, we proudly present Vinegar Syndrome's Lost Picture Show, a 10-film collection of long-thought-lost American genre films, all restored to their best-known and surviving elements. This wide-ranging collection covers genres from exploitation to horror to kids' films to underground vanity projects and a couple movies so weird they defy description. So essentially what this is Vinegar Syndrome pulled some movies out of the gutter. Movies that were probably lost and never, like, were totally unavailable and lost to time. They brought them back from the dead. That's kind of incredible. That as a physical media person, like somebody who's invested in this world, that's kind of like a very sweet story to hear. Like that's very special that they went out on that endeavor and actually did the damn thing. They actually saved some movies. I'm not sure if I would be buying this. I'm sure it's quite expensive, as a lot of their stuff tends to be. But it just makes me happy to know that kind of similar to those Disney Plus Marvel shows, it's just kind of, it makes you feel good to know that it's out there, even if it's not for you. We have something that is for me. We have Bullet Train. This comes to us from Discotech Media. And if you're not aware, this is from the year 1975, and this stars Ken Takakura, and Sonny Chiba is in here as well, the man, the myth, the legend, Takashi Shimura himself. This movie has long been on my list of things to check out. It's like a Japanese like thriller of sorts, and it's got Sonny Chiba in it and Ken Takakura, who is always a selling point. I was really excited when I saw this pop onto the calendar a while back. I dog-eared it a long time ago, and I didn't actually realize it was coming out this month, but I will buy this. I will own this. We have Crying Freeman, the complete OVA series, I believe. This is from 1988 to 1994. I haven't actually seen any of Crying Freeman, but I do know that Mark Dacascos stars in a live-action adaptation of this anime/manga. I have seen panels from the manga. Very, very nifty art style. Like it quite a lot. Never actually seen the anime, though. Wouldn't be blind buying it, but I am interested. Just say that much. We got The Emerald Forest from 1985. What the fuck is this cover? It's directed by John Borman and stars Powers Booth and Meg Foster. Wow. I'll just read the plot description. After the son of engineer Bill Markham is abducted by an aboriginal tribe on the edge of the rainforest, the engineer spends the next 10 years searching for him. Okay. That cover, the use of color on that cover is very interesting. It looks like Miami Vice or some shit, but I love me some Powers Booth. I'll say that much. We got Fist of the North Star. The Legends of the True Savior, Legend of Yuria, and Legend of Toki. So if you're not familiar with Fist of the North Star, how dare you? It is one of the greatest things that's ever happened in the world of comics and animation. It's an anime. This is from the wave of, revival films that we're getting of Fist of the North Star. Because this series originates from the mid-80s, but in the 2000s, perhaps it was for like 30th year anniversary edition reasons or something, in Japan they were making films. They made I think at least one theatrical film, and then they did a couple of presumably like web or direct-to-video films following that up to kind of round out the rest of the story. I actually haven't seen these ones. I did see the one about Raul, and of course I saw the movie one that covers Kenshiro fighting Souther or Souza. Haven't seen this one though, with Yuria and Toki. Be curious to check it out. The animation style and quality was quite good for the movie. Can't vouch for these though. I'll just rattle off a couple of titles here because there's a fuck ton. God, we got Scream Queen from 2002, as well as The Wrong Door from 1990, both of which are coming to us from Visual Vengeance, who specialize in schlock cinema. It's kind of their thing. Not that there's anything wrong with that. We have Messiah of Evil from 1973. This comes to us from Radiance Films, who of course have a very distinct cover art. There's usually a colored strip occupying roughly a vertical like slice, like a third of the cover art. They're kind of a recent arrival on American shores, so every once in a while I shout out their releases. Not that any of them have really caught my eye as things that I would like to watch or own for that matter, but it's just kind of cool whenever there's a new label on the block. We got The Jar from 1984. This comes to us from Terrorvision, and I believe this was a film that was actually reviewed by the guys from Wisconsin, Red Letter Media on YouTube. Way back when, this was like an early episode of theirs. Very good episode, in fact. Not to the point that I would want to own the shit-ass film that they talked about on it, but it is always interesting to see Red Letter Media schlock titles get full-ass Blu-ray releases in 2023. And yeah, that's about it as far as titles that I can potentially talk about today. I'm exhausted, so I'm just going to proceed to the finale here of the episode, wherein I basically call out any titles that I think I'm going to be picking up or maybe going out of my way to watch or rent. So I'm just going to proceed backwards through the calendar here. Bullet Train, I think I'm just going to blind buy that. It has enough people in it that I really, really like. And from what I know of the plot summary, it sounds right up my alley. It's also from an era of Japanese cinema that I really, really love. Namely the 70s, mid-70s largely. Naked Gun is a maybe, although more than likely I'll probably just end up asking the girlfriend if she wants to watch them on whatever service they're probably housed on at the moment. Ninja vs. Shark, I would watch that for free. I'm not paying a damn penny to do it, though. Just because of Koichi Sakamoto, just because of his involvement, that's enough for me. Like, people getting punched in it will probably be good. The rest of it will probably be shit. Mobile Suit Gundam, Twilight Axis. As I said, I actually have already paid for that. I'll get it when I get it, and I'll probably watch it and never watch it again. It is weirdly short, though. That does bother me. That's not like a feature film. It's like barely an episode of an OVA. It's kind of disappointing to pay for that. Like, I'm not going to lie. That did feel kind of shitty, knowing that it's like 45 minutes or something, if that. Expendables 4, Expend 4 Bulls. Yeah, I'm buying that. I haven't bought it yet, but I will buy that. And I will watch the fuck out of it. All by myself, because no one in my social circle has any interest in this garbage, except for me. The Fugitive, I would actually consider picking that up. For some reason, I got that itch. I want to check out The Fugitive again. It's been 30 fucking years. I'm into it. Oppenheimer, saw it in the theater, really enjoyed it. Not sure I need to watch it again anytime soon, or own it, though. I probably will watch it again, but I don't know if I'm ever going to own it, is the thing. Oh, by the way, Clean got a Steelbook release. That is a Adrian Brody headlined film that I've reviewed with my buddy Brad from the Cinema Speak podcast, and we both learned, I think through that movie, that Adrian Brody moonlights as a DJ, such that the soundtrack, the score for the film, is apparently composed by Brody Beats. That would be his DJ alias, Brody Beats. Soundtrack by Brody Beats. Yeah, I don't need to own clean, but that was a really fun discussion, Brad, if you're listening. Thanks again for having me on for that one. Be very curious to know how that conversation would have gone if it was someone other than me on the other end of it. The Equalizer 3. Shit, I'm going to own that. Just like Expend Forbles. Shit, I'm in. Let's do it. I'm definitely going to own The Equalizer 3, although it's probably just going to be the Blu-ray. Either that, or I'll do some stupid shit, like sell the two Blu-rays that I already have and just buy the three-movie box set of the 4K or something. I do stupid shit like that all the time. Sonny Chiba Collection Volume 2 from Shout Select. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, I'm buying that. What else we got? Anything else? RoboDoc. RoboDoc, the RoboCop documentary. That is a definitely maybe. Violent Night on 4K. I'm not sure if I'm going to get the brand new fucking 4K. I might just get that $7 Blu-ray or whatever. Just because it's like, it was a good movie. I don't think I need it to look great, though, because I know it's not great. So, you know, I'm fine paying $7 for an okay movie. And Fargo, I don't think I need to own it, but just seeing the cover makes me want to watch it. So maybe that means I should own it or something. Oh, yeah, and Gran Turismo. Not going to be buying that at all. Not going to be paying for it either. But I would actually like to watch it. Just to see how they handle that story. Like, I already know that they're kind of disingenuous with how they handle some of the stuff that actually happened in the driver's life. Like, the actual person whose life it's based on. But I'm more interested in the games to sports aspect of the storytelling. I'm very curious how they present that, because I do think it is something that we're on the cusp of, like humanity at large. So yeah, I will watch that movie. Not going to pay for it though. Anyway, yeah, that's about it for the physical media releases for November 2023. But thank you, dear listener, for tuning into this episode of Catching Up on Blu-ray. But if you would like to catch up on any of our other Catching Up on Cinema content, you can find all of that collected on our website at catchinguponcinema.com. You can also find us on the social medias in the form of the Instagram at Catching Up on Cinema, as well as the Twitter /X at Catching Cinema. And feel free to hit me up on either of those, please. And the podcast is available on pretty much every platform you can imagine, including Bitcade. So fucking Google it. And now, that being said, thank you so much for listening, and we will catch you next time.